Blog Talk Radio.
Is the universal messenger prophet. Dear beloved people, again we have gathered here in the house of worship, masjid, mosque, as it's called in English, to bring ourselves to recall the blessings, the wonders, the guidance of Almighty God. Muslims, as Christians and Jews, are required to come together in congregation to worship Allah, that is the one Lord and creator of everything, to worship him and also to seek his guidance, to seek his guidance. His guidance is for the whole life of the human being, the individual life, the private life, and also the community life or public life. His guidance covers every human concern. No human concern is left untreated by the guidance of God. Our concern for good health, for good morals, our concern for material progress, for good organized life, for government, our concern for education, every human concern, every concern you can possibly think of has been established by Allah, by God, for human beings. Man has found his way into established life, sensible life, by way of the mercy and grace of God. He has not been able to establish anything without the mercy and grace of God. So we thank Allah and we come here in the spirit of believers. And Allah, believers in the one Lord and Creator. We come here in the spirit of religious people, in the spirit of devoted people, devoted to the worship of the one Lord and Creator, in the spirit of good people, well-meaning people, people desiring to be right, people desiring to please their one Lord and Creator. We come here in that spirit. And we pray Allah preserve us, that he protect us, that he increase this spirit in us, and bring us closer together in this spirit, so that we will be strong community people, good community people, right-minded community people, seeking his pleasure above our own selfish concerns. Then we will be successful. We should understand that when Muslims come together, they come together in that spirit. They don't come together as disbelievers, as worldly people. We come together as believers in Allah, one Lord. And we come together for the purpose of knowing what he wants for us. And we hope that we can see, conceive the guidance that he has revealed and understand it and be able to apply it in our individual life and also in the community life. We are people who accept the rules of the Lord Creator. We accept his rules and we don't desire to put any rule up with his rules. We have no desire to establish something to contend with what he has established for us, to challenge what he has established for us. We have no desire to do that. Our desire is only to please our one Lord and Creator and to accept his rule. We see the rule of the one Lord and Creator as being above everything. It's bigger than me, bigger than all of us. None of us can challenge it. It will wear us out. It will frustrate us and bring us to our doom. None of us can challenge it. We accept the rule, the sovereignty of God, the one Lord and Creator. May we come together to seek shelter in his rule, or under his rule, to seek protection under his rule. The world can't protect us. Only Allah can protect us. This is the Quran. No individual can protect us. Only Allah can protect us. No combination of people can protect us. Only Allah can protect us. No amount of wealth can protect us. Only Allah can protect us. No amount of intelligence can protect us. Only Allah can protect us. So, dear beloved people, those are the attributes, the common attributes of people in religion. And we have gathered here as people in religion, identifying ourselves as Muslims, as followers of Muhammad, peace be on him, to whom the Quran was revealed about 1400 years and a little better ago, in a dark and backward peninsula called Arabia, where people were living very much then like most of the youngsters are living now in the center city, belonging to hoodlum gangs, competing with each other, claiming turf, commanding a section of the town, and denying others the right to come through there unless they pay respect, pay homage to them. Same situation exactly existed in the peninsula we call Arabia during what we call the age of Jahiliyyah, the Dark Ages, where the leadership of society had been so thoroughly blinded to the proper direction to take in life and had left the high culture and the high guidance that God had revealed through his prophets, his servants, the prophets, the messengers of God. They had left that and were just going blindly about in society, boasting of their tribal lineage, their tribal order, boasting of their manpower. This is scripture. Scripture tells us this. This is not me. Whatever I'm saying is from scripture. Boasting of their manpower and boasting of their wealth, their material wealth. But they were ignorant. They were not a cultured people. They were weak because they were ignorant. They could manage each other, but they couldn't manage the civilized nations. They couldn't manage the intelligent empires. They couldn't do anything with them. So they were a weak people because of their gangland mentality, turf mentality. They were a weak people, backwards and weak. But one among them was different. That was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be on the Prophet. He was different. As a young child, he was different. He never accepted those influences. He never came under the gang mentality, the turf mentality, and the superstitions and crazy ideas of his society. He remained aloof while yet remaining among them, that is, as a good person, well-meaning person, person who didn't want to wrong anybody, not even those sinful people. And it was because of him and his goodness that Allah rewarded not only the Arabians, not only the Arabs, that peninsula and its people, but the whole world with a model leader. A model leader. A model leader not for hermits, not for ascetics, not for nuns and monks. A model leader for the common human being. Praise be to Allah. And Allah says in the scripture, those who say Allah has not revealed to a common mortal human being anything, reckon God with a reckoning that does not respect reality. Powerful statement. Powerful statement. Profound statement. And it's addressed to those who profess to believe in God. If they profess to believe in God, then how is it so strange to them that God has revealed his way, his guidance, to a common flesh and blood human being? They say, oh, if he's not a son of a priest, if he's not one of our elect or selected people in the leadership, we won't listen to him. We won't pay him any attention because he's ignorant. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And God doesn't reveal himself to stupid people, to ignorant people, to the common classes. That's what they say. And if you question them and say, well, why? What do you base that on? What kind of reasoning you base that on? That God doesn't reveal himself to the common man, to an uneducated man. How come the man got to be one of your sons? Sons of the elite. How come he has to be a son of the elite? How come he has to be a son of a rabbi? Or a son of a priest? Why can't he just be an ordinary man? And if you could chase them down in an argument, they will tell you, because this is a science. And we have a monopoly on this science. And we won't accept any man saying he's a leader for us if he is not part of our school, if he's not one of us. That's what really is in their heart. That's what's really in their mind. But how did they get the sciences? How did they get what they're bragging about? Where did they get it from? Don't they claim they got it from prophets? They trace it back to the prophets, to Moses. And don't their scripture tell them, their own scripture tell them, that God chose prophets from among the common people too? Who were not sons of rabbis, who were not sons of priests. They were not from the educated elite. But they laughed, those hypocrites, deceivers. They laugh at that kind of argument. They say, oh, we make the arguments ourselves. So ignore him. And they try to ignore the man that God has chosen. But Allah chose him, and he established him. And the same people that tried to ignore him and laughed at him, they had to accept him and respect him in the end. Because Allah gave victory to him and his followers. Allah gave victory to Muhammad and his followers. Victory over the turf-minded, gains of that peninsula we call Arabia. And victory also over tyrannical governments that were known then as the empires, great empires, empirical power. Allah gave him victory also over them and established him for all time as a world leader, a liberator for the common person all over this planet Earth. He's established as such. That's Muhammad, peace be on him. When he started out, did he have an army to protect him? Did he have security guard? No. Just one man. One man. He trusted Allah. The whole society was against what he was teaching, against what he represented. He trusted Allah. One man. He told his wife of his experience. His wife became a follower. His cousin became a follower. Pretty soon a friend became a follower, a close friend became a follower, and then another friend. And he gathered about a dozen friends or so, and they represented the core of his new movement, if we would call it that. Yes. And they were small in numbers. They were greatly outnumbered by the rest of the people in that society. But Allah was with him. Allah chose him. So he was victorious. He was successful. Praise be to Allah. If we understand the history of society, the history of man, society, then we should have respect for high morals. We should have respect for high decency, for high principles in man, because we have inherited an orderly and progressive world from such men. The hoodlums have not given us anything. They never give us anything but problems. They have not left us with anything solid to carry ourselves forward, to progress our life, for us to pass on to our children, our girls and boys that are being born. They haven't left us anything. It has been those upright men, the prophets of Allah. It has been the upright men, the morally conscious men, the men of excellent behavior. Those are the men that have left us something to live by, something to trust, our futures and our children to. So let us understand that when we come to the mosque, to the masjid, as it is called in the language of the Quran, then we should understand, dear beloved people, that we are coming here as religious people. We are coming here as religious people. We are coming here as people that respect sacred matters, respect God, respect revelation, respect His prophets, respect all sacred matters. And those who do not come in that spirit, then they are not one of us. They are not of us. Because we are Muslims. We believe in Allah. We are religious people. We accept His rule and His rule alone as being the rule that man should obey. And whatever else we follow, we follow it because it is in accord with what has been established for us in the Quran. If it is not in accord with what has been established for us in the Quran, we reject it. We do not drink liquors because our scripture forbids it. We do not gamble because our scripture forbids it. We do not use any form of narcotics. We do not make ourselves drunk or dopey with drugs because our religion forbids that. We do not engage in criminal activities. Our religion forbids that. We do not give ourselves to criminal influences. We do not oppress people. We do not rob people. We do not cheat people. We don't try to beat people out of their possessions. We don't manipulate people. We don't try to influence them over their own good senses or against their own good senses. We appeal to their good senses. Our religion forbids that we manipulate the minds of any people. We have to appeal to their good senses. We can't manipulate them with psychology or tools of psychology or anything else, or bribe them with money. We can't make people believe in our religion. We invite people to our religion. We don't force anybody to believe in our religion. And we can't compel them, and we can't even use the kind of language that would amount to indoctrination rather than education. We have to educate people, not indoctrinate them. We appeal to the common sense that is in man. We appeal to his good instincts, his better motives. And we appeal to the common sense in the person. And the person accepts this religion with his eyes open. And this is the Quran. This is our holy book. It tells us to invite the people with common sense, using logic, common sense. Call on them to respond to the call of God or to the teachings of Al-Islam with their senses. This is Quran. Quran tells us to tell the people to respond to the call of God, respond to the guidance of God with your senses, with your intelligence. So dear beloved people, if we understand what this religion is and what this particular building here is for, and if we come here in the right spirit, then we should be blessed while we are here. But if we come here not knowing what this religion is, not knowing what way of life this is we have identified with, not knowing the purpose for which this building exists, then when we come here, we will have a miserable day here. It will be a curse instead of a blessing. And we don't want that. We want everybody to enjoy like we enjoy. We want everybody to feel good about this like we feel good about it. Benefit from it as we benefit from it. I've said so many times, if we want to gather just to have fun, why pay all this money for this place? They got plenty of fun houses out there. You don't have to buy one. We want to gather to do wrong. Why come here in this place? There are plenty of places to gather if you want to do wrong. A lot of places out there where people are gathering to do wrong. Join them. They'll welcome you if you want to do wrong. But if you come here, you should want to be right. Shouldn't be hypocrites. People say, what kind of place is that? And those who know say, oh, that's the house of worship. That's the Muslim's house of worship. That's the house of prayer, house of worship. So they expect that the people coming in those doors are people that are religious. So don't be a hypocrite. Be truthful. Praise be to Allah. I'm happy to see some of you who I've seen since I was a little boy. In my teenage years and even before, I see faces here that I remember from those days. And it's really a good feeling to see you all. Anytime I see you, it's a good feeling. These are steady people, constant people. They are people who made up their minds. And they were not fickle-minded. They were not goofy-minded, silly-minded people. They were serious-minded people. And they made up their mind what they wanted to be. They made up their mind what religion they wanted to belong to. They weren't ignorant of what Christianity represents. They had been in the church, most of them, before. And they chose this way. They had decided that they didn't want to go the way they had been going. They wanted to become Muslims. And they became Muslims under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. May he rest in peace. And they proved that they were sincere by staying with his son. They proved their sincerity. If they weren't sincere with him, they would have went back in the church. But he invited them to something different, something that wasn't the church. And they came to it because they had been disappointed by the church. And when his son stood up and said, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called you to the religion and to the Quran, but he left it for us to find the way into that book and into the right life that that book established. They didn't say, oh, if we can't continue as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was leading us or guiding us, then we don't want it at all. No, almost 100% of the pioneers welcomed me with their hearts and with their support. Welcomed me. Almost 100%. You want to know where the established pioneers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, those old people who were with him from the early days, 30s, 40s, 50s, you want to know where they are? They're with me. They are not with anybody else. They are with me. If you want to know who is with the others, they are few. Very few. Very few. Those who really knew the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, knew him, what he was, what he represented, and what he was, they know that this is the destination. That what we call the temple was not the destination for us. This is the destination. What we were doing then was not the destination. It was a preparation. We were preparing to come to this destination, changing our mind, turning away from the world, getting an independent mind, grooming ourselves to be decent and upright, to be truthful. And being drawn to a book as the Word of God, the Book of God, the Quran. So we were the people that were being prepared for a destiny, for a destination. We were given a hunger for understanding, a hunger for justice. Yes. See, I'm the child of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his wife, Clara Muhammad. May they rest in peace. I'm the son of them. And I was born about a year or so after they left the church and joined a new religion. So I was born with the name Wallace D. Muhammad. Not Wallace Muhammad, Wallace D. Muhammad. I don't know why some of my close friends hate to say my name is Wallace D. Muhammad. They made me pay attention to it. I never paid much attention to it until they started not wanting to say my name is Wallace D. Muhammad. Now I have a birth certificate at home. You can get a copy from the bureau there, statistics. It says Wallace D. Muhammad. I said to myself, I like that. I really like that. Because, you know, D in some language means of. Wallace of Muhammad. And D in other language means the. Wallace the Muhammad. I kind of like it, you know. I don't want nobody to keep me out of what's mine. My name is Wallace D. Muhammad. That's the whole name I was given. You see? Oh, praise be to Allah, and we're trying to be the Muhammad, right? We want to be his follower. We want to be like him. And Allah has blessed us to become more like him, giving us guidance. So let us understand that and feel happy about that. Allah has rewarded us for our good intentions. Many of us don't know that the people of Arabia, please take the baby out if you can't quiet him. It'd probably be better for the baby too. The people of Arabia, they were in much the same situation that we were. You know, when Muslims pray, especially a mother, if the baby starts crying, you can stop your prayer. In fact, that's what Prophet Muhammad told us. If you're praying, your baby starts crying, if the baby needs you, you stop your prayer and go take care of the baby. See how sensible our religion is? God loves us. He loves the baby too. He wants you to use good sense. So even if you're praying, Allah says you're believing your prayer. Through Prophet Muhammad, he taught us that if the baby cries, the mother's praying, she should quickly conclude her prayer with As-salamu alaykum, As-salamu alaykum. Close her prayer and take the baby. Go to the baby. See what the baby needs. Yes. Praise be to Allah. So let us come back to the thought now. We're looking at ourselves, where we came from. How we were given a hunger, great hunger for understanding. I don't think you could find any religious people on earth that was more hungry for understanding than the followers of Allah, Elijah Muhammad. Why, the followers of Allah, Elijah Muhammad, they were constantly discussing his teaching. They were constantly questioning what he said, because he told them to question it. He said, study it and look deep into it. He said, don't just take it on the surface. He said, but look deep into it. That's what he taught. So he had perhaps the most studious followers in the United States, maybe anywhere. Many of them used to sit up late at night studying his words and the words of his teacher, W.D. Farrar or W.F. Muhammad. Yes, they'd be studying it. And they were looking for meaning. They were looking for a message that was not on the surface. They were told to study deep, to look deep. They were people hungering for guidance, for insight. And as I said, a people who were hungry for justice. Perhaps we were the only religious group that had our own courts. If anyone mistreated another Muslim, another member of the temple, and it came to the attention of the community, he was brought or to the official's attention. He was brought before the congregation. And he had to have his witnesses, if he had any. And that would be his accusers, people who had charges against him. And they would hold court. And people were given punishment, time, excommunicated for going to movies, for smoking cigarettes, for using foul language, for committing adultery and fornication, for drinking liquor, for eating or handling pork meat. for being seen in an indecent situation, being caught in a bar. Yeah. For fighting each other. For robbery. For not paying their debts. They were brought before the people, before the congregation, and charged, and court was held. They were punished. So that environment made us a people who were hungry for justice. It made all of us want justice because it groomed us for that, influenced us and groomed us.
Oh, الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمه الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله, thank you for joining us this morning for All Things Human. We just listened to a portion of December 26, 1986 lecture from Imam Muhammad. Sounds like it was in Chicago. I have no other details other than that, but it had that Chicago feel to it. And we're going to play, the balance of that particular clip. I don't know if it ends in about another half hour, meaning an additional half hour, but we'll play the balance of it next week, inshallah. And we'll do that. So what we're going to do right now is continue on as to where we are. If this is Wednesday, give it if there's an opportunity for anyone to have a question or comment on Blog Talk, now is your chance. Also on Facebook Live, YouTube, if you can type in your query and the like, you can do that. You'll have that opportunity, as we do for the limited time before we take off. Any? All right. Well, I'm gone. I believe I have the slide piece figured out. I just can't go to full screen with my PowerPoint here on my side of it. So that means I have to keep it open, and then go from there. Let's pick up where we ended last week. We're at the point now where we're actually talking about the Dajjal with more detail. And the Dajjal, we know from the reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the one-eyed, right? This began some months ago. We're continuing with it. Michael means God with us. Some of you remember this character from Monsters, Inc. God with us. His name is Mike, which is short for Michael, but it means God with us. And for us, for the movie itself, he's the one-eyed monster. And for us, the one-eyed is the Dajjal. We pointed out how a couple of weeks ago in the finale of The Masked Singer, the first and second, meaning the winner and the runner-up, what one was the bull character and the other was the heart, and the heart just happened to have one eye. So it's a heart with one eye. Let me say this easy read off the top of it. It's a heart with one eye, right? So a person whose desire is just one thing, and also intellect is the servant of interest. Your heart is what you're interested in, right? Intellect is the servant of interest. So the heart is the interest. The eye is actually a type of the intellect. In the center of the eye, what do you call that part of the center of the eye? It's called the pupil. It's called the pupil, right? Pupil is another name for student, right? So what the eye, what you're looking for, you do research, right? You do research. What do you do research with? With your eyes, effectively. And then also the term talib itself, talib, which means student, it also means desire. It also means desire or something that you want, right? So if your heart is focused only on one thing, you're not focused on two things, you don't have a balanced approach to it, then you're under the influence, and you yourself become a Dajjal in that respect. So this heart symbolizing that, and again, the the symbolism that puts these spikes. The heart's supposed to be soft and appealing and attractive, but in reality, you have those spikes there. That's dangerous, right? That's dangerous, threatening, et cetera. And it's doubling those, it's sending a double message. It's sending a double message, but actually one message for those who understand. So the whole one-eyed thing is well-established in this society. Some of the others that I've thought about between last week and this, you have Nick Fury, that character, that Samuel L. Jackson character, Nick Fury. He's the guy that I don't know where he is right now. I don't know if he really actually got killed off or what have you, but he was the one that was running the Marvel Universe characters operation, right? So he's like the overseer, the supervisor of the whole thing. So that's Nick Fury. He also plays a similar role in Triple X, right? Similar role in Triple X. But the whole one-eyed thing is there, right? And I'm reminded how pirates, for some reason, having the pirates patch, you Raider fans will know what I'm talking about, that pirates patch is also something that is established iconically in our culture as well. And then the Kingsman, which they have a later, prequel version of the Kingsman that's out right now. This is a later one. I think this was like the second one, doesn't matter. But you have the whole one-eyed piece going on there as well. So it's something that is in the fabric of this culture. And so let's look at this as an important understanding of that. Okay, two things. The Dajjal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for us through the life model of Prophet Muhammad, the message that we have from Prophet Muhammad, that the Dajjal is a reality, right? And this is established long before any of these movies that we're talking about. That such is a reality, that this is a real, I'm just going to say a real thing. And so the fact that it comes into existence and comes into currency and comes into the cultural system, and the way that it functions in the cultural system is also true to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed it as being, is important for us to understand. And so the need to recognize the Dajjal in real concrete terms and not misidentify the Dajjal is very important. Because the main thing that in one of the movies, Usual Suspects, it says Satan's greatest victory was to convince people that there is no Satan. So the Dajjal is something in particular. Now, in practical, real, actual, how does or how should it matter to me terms, I want to say this for you so that you can grasp it. So the Dajjal has one eye, right? The idea is one eye. But remember, words, the sound of words, wordplay is critical for, well, everything. Facility with language. I was listening to something with regard to the Wright brothers and the role that reading and the role that language played in their unique work is very, very critical. It's just a reminder of the power, the force, the significance, the importance of language. And language, of course, is a multidimensional aspect of it. I have it memorized then, but I'm remembering in part that vocabulary, there are four, at least four types of vocabulary There's the reading vocabulary, there's the hearing vocabulary, there's the speaking vocabulary, and there's one that I'm missing, meaning that, oh, the writing vocabulary. You know, you can do. There are words for which we could do all four of those things, and there are also words that we might not be able to do all of them, right? Let's take, for example, hors d'oeuvres. I always have fun with myself on that. Hors d'oeuvres, right? It's like, can you spell hors d'oeuvres? Can you see it somewhere? Can you read it, right? And when you read it, can you spell it? Can you say it? And do you know what it means? All right. So there's a vocabulary where you know things, where you know what things mean, but you can't spell them, et cetera. So for many, many, many years, I would say when I would see that word, horse divorce, it's like, oh, that's hors d'oeuvres. All right. So we have these different vocabularies. All right. So now when you move beyond just literacy, that's what I was just talking about. I was just talking about just literacy, your writing vocabulary, reading vocabulary, your hearing vocabulary, and whichever the other is. But now when you get past that, now you start thinking about the sounds of words, and you think about the kinds of wordplay and symbol system that is beyond the common mind, where the imam has told us, and we repeat, that you read words in this, they say of English, that English, some people say English is a bastard language. Better said, that it is a constructed language. It's a language that's constructed to serve the people who created it. There was a movie, doesn't matter because I don't want to invite you to go see it anyway. There's a parent speaking with his children, and the idea is, yeah, I guess that's why it escapes my mind right now. The idea is that it's under, oh, Esperanza, that was the point, inside of his, they were traveling on a road trip, and they could speak many, many, many languages, but at one point when the children were getting upset with him, they would start speaking Esperanza to each other, between themselves, right? They said, no Esperanza. Esperanza, I believe that's the name of it, Esperanza. So this Esperanza itself is a modern, quote-unquote, created language. I don't know who speaks it, but it is a created language in recent times as created and is actually spoken by people who learn it. So similarly, when languages get constructed, those languages are constructed to carry the ideas of the people who constructed the language. Okay. Well, the English language, especially the American English, is constructed for the purpose of carrying ideas, right? Ideas that you have to be taught to know that side, the code for that language, right? So just let's go with this idea, right? So we talk about I, and then you idea. When you look at idea, I-D-E-A, I-D-E-A, for my own conscience, I have to tell you, this is so, so very important, because there's a mile or two down this road that we're walking. We'll inshallah, we'll be able to get to, because you want to understand Shaitan. This is a Satan, hypocrites, history, and the word of God is where this conversation, this journey started months ago, with the intention of, look, we need to be able to put our finger on the Shaitan. When I say put it on the Shaitan, we know we can't literally do that, but to fight against the works of Shaitan, you have to be able to identify his footprints. You have to be able to identify. There's science to what I just said. You have to be able to identify that. The Samiri, something about the footprint, and the Samiri in the Quran. Think about that. But we can't deal with all that right away. So let's stay with this. So now we're looking at the construction of the language, right? So we started off talking about I, right? So you have the I, right? Okay, then we have this idea. You have this word, idea, right? Break it up. Break up idea. I-D-E-A. What is that? ID, right? So number one, identification, right? Well, show me some ID. Right? Show me some ID. So you're talking about identification. That's one. That's just, this is just scraping off the surface. Okay. Then what is EA? Each. Each. But there's, don't stay with the ID part. That came right away. For this connection, idea, you're breaking IDEA. What's ID? Id. Id. Not Eid like our Eid, but it is definitely related. Id. So what is Id? In the parlance of Freud, in the parlance of Freud, Id is your impulses. Id is your impulses, right? Now, Quran 4:119, this is a very, very important verse to understand the way that Shaitan operates. I will create in them false desires. So what is the Id? Id is impulses. So I will manipulate them in their impulses. That's what ID is. ID is impulses. Id, impulses. EA is each impulse. It is true that an idea, say, oh, I have some idea of it, that's really just an urge. That's just an impulse. You don't have any, you don't have the details. You just, it's like a feeling. I have some, in other people, in other parlance, it says, you have no idea, right? You also hear that same meaning in, you don't even have an inkling of this. So inklings, ideas, impulses, urges, Id. See, Id represents those that in that psychoanalytic vernacular, it represents urges and impulses that you have, which can be translated into the jinn. It can be translated. It can be translated and it can be transformed into the jinn because people get manipulated by their impulses. They get manipulated when those impulses are not under their control. When your impulses are not under your control, and then someone is able to, we talked about entertainment, and we're talking about entertainment. Entertainment means getting into your subjectivity. That's what it means. Getting into yourself. What do you mean, your subjectivity? Your subjective mind. Getting into your subjective mind. When you watch movies, when you listen to music, when you engage in entertainment, You do this suspension of critique. You don't critique. You don't criticize. I know some of you with those. I don't do it with my wife anymore. That is, oh, look at that. That means this. Look at that. That means that. Look at that. That means that. You can't even quote unquote enjoy the movie. Others, I enjoy it that way when I do that, but. You can't enjoy the movie if you're critiquing all the way through the movie, unless that's your entertainment. But you're different. The masses of people who are engaged with it, they're just engaging it by what's called suspension of disbelief. You just suspend your disbelief, and then you just allow it to come in. Okay, well then when it comes in, it enters into your subjectivity and that makes you a subject. You think that's the subject. No, you're the subject. You're the subject of the movie. And the director and the producer, mainly the director, however, the writer writes what they write, the screenwriter, the script writer, they do what they do. Then the director brings it to life by how they deal with the symbols, the icons, the indexes, the semiotics of the movie, then that it's artwork, But understand the role of the role and the object of the art is to get into your subjectivity and transform you in some kind of way such that you won't be the same person when you go out that you were when you went in if they're successful in the operation that their movie or entertainment represents. It's serious psychological business. So idea is each impulse. That's what it is, each impulse, right? So we'll have to wait for later to talk about what that means in the larger scheme of it. I'm going to stay with the one eye thing right here, but in the larger picture, what I just told you is the heart of it. Shaitan, let me give you hadith. I want you to be clear that this is connected. The our way of life has already told us the answers to this, but in abstract ways, and that's something that I'm trying to communicate more so that we better understand that. What we're given in abstracts, then you have to unpack the abstract in order to be able to get the meaning. The meaning is inside, like a walnut in a shell. The meaning is inside. The walnut is abstract. The meat is the concrete. The meat is the wisdom, right? So it's just interesting. You know, I mean, how much a walnut looks like a brain, and you know, two lobes, and they also call you nuts when your brain is not right. All right, and that bark on the walnut, since we're there, that bark on the walnut is really a type of the neocortex. Cortex means bark, right? And then you have to start talking about dogs and the way that they manipulate us in society. Let's go back to idea. Okay, idea. What I want to focus on is ideology. Let's do that. Ideology. So idea, so this is all connected with the Najaf justice. There's somebody that's working on building up their multiplicity of Dajjals, right? You're going to see them when election time comes up. They're being fed an ideology right now, being wound up to be turned loose during the upcoming election cycle for 2024. I just saw a part of the movie, whatever, Return of the Mummy, and in one of the scenes, the mummy who has returned after being brought back to life, the mummy was able to get the water, and he was able to conjure up the force of the water, and you could see an image of his face in the water, and he was using that water to flood the people that he deemed to be his enemies. That's what's happening right now. The conjuring of this kind of, find little short clips about the mass psychosis. You need to know that. It's the world that we're in. And even this, I saw the Kingsman, the recent Kingsman. It ends with a punchline of one of the greatest conjurers. They had one of the greatest conjurers inside the movie at the beginning, and then they also had the ending conjurer at the end, someone who is also known infamously in history as one who's able to do that with masses, a whole country. He rallied a whole nation into that mass psychosis. And if you don't make the connection between that as a phenomena, a feature of history that can be repeated. There's nothing about life, the life of human beings, and we have no guarantees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these things cannot repeat themselves in our time. You need to know that, but I want you to understand it's all under ideology. It's under ideology, and it is this ideology that's always being presented. The Matrix, especially this one right now, it is promoting the present ideology that is being pushed in the world to make something abnormal normal. It is, it's put to that purpose. Don't think it's just entertainment. That's how Shaitan, that's what we're talking about, the boogeyman, right? Don't think it's just entertainment. It is entertainment, but not, quote, unquote, just entertainment. Yeah, relax, take a break. You work too hard, blah, blah, blah. Go get some, have some entertainment. Entertainment nowadays is an operation. It has always been an operation to enter into the subjectivity and manipulate the conscience of the people so that it will line up with the plans of those who are generating the entertainment. You need to know that, brother and sister. All right. So critical. So the point here is to understand that when we talk about the Dajjal, don't go looking for some beast looking like this little cartoon character right here, or even like the devil with the red suit and the horns and da da da. Don't look for that. Look for ideology. Look for ideology. Okay? What is ideology? The logic. First, you start with an idea, right? What is an idea? Idea is each urge or each impulse. Big idea. So you have some ideas that are big. Well, I guess I'm going to have to do this because there was something that said, don't do that. Well, no, it keeps coming up. And with that language, the big idea. Y'all hang on for a second. Listen to the difference. Obviously, you can't see it unless you're on both platforms. This is the concluding creature that comes up in the movie Suicide Squad. So this starfish character, right? Those of you who are interested in leadership and understanding power in leadership. One of the things you should study is the starfish and the spider. Imam Oliver Muhammad introduced that to me a couple of years ago. Actually, maybe a few years ago. Time flies. But the starfish and the spider. The starfish is The starfish is a more powerful, according to that thesis, a more powerful means of leadership and more difficult to undermine because it's decentralized, Whole nother story. But so you see the eye. Oh, this is the monster. It was like underground and whatever. It came out, Suicide Squad, boom, boom, boom. And so then the eye, what happens is that the all these little starfish come from under the arm of this giant starfish, and it's been in alien fashion, if you have happened to see that movie, where it sucks into your face. So now everybody's got this one eye. And so when this one eye speaks, it speaks through everybody else, very much like the Matrix. The Matrix speaks through everyone that is connected with it, or the agents can come through everyone that's connected, which is the same thing as culture. All this is saying is culture, right? So everybody only sees what the quote unquote the big eye, and so going back to language again, the big eye. So big guy, right? The big eye. So the big guy is the eye. The big eye is the eye that everybody sees through. All right. So once I'm in charge, I give you your vision, I give you your perception, I give you your worldview, then I'm in charge of you. And that's the Dajjal. So this can be taken as a symbol of the Dajjal as well, and how the Dajjal also influences everybody else. Nobody else sees what they see individually, personally, autonomously, independently. No, you only see what the Dajjal shows you, and you only see it through one eye. And that's what happens with ideology. Ideology, people who guide their life, quote unquote, we'll call it guide, who live their life on the basis of ideology, are individuals who are, quote unquote, singular focused. They don't have a depth perception, right? And even in this Kingsman piece, these two individuals who are supposedly enemies of each other. I'm talking about the end of the movie. I'm talking about when you think the credits are supposed to be rolling, and then they come back and then they show you something else. So they have these two characters, and actually it's communism and nationalism, something like that. Those two are introduced by the same person as being to act in a role as being enemies of each other. And the imam explained to us, it's like, you look, left hand and the right hand. You think two things might be opposing each other, but when in actuality, they are actually two hands on the same body. And you get that message also at the end of it. So ideology, and both of them represent ideology, right? So the idea is to understand the role that ideology plays in mastering and managing and manipulating people. That is how Shaitan manages the society, through ideology. And if you don't have the ability to think and reason, let me say this also before I go. So this starfish here, the movie is Suicide Squad. The main girl is that girl, whatever the girl's name is. She carries the bat around. I don't know what her name is right now. But on her little saying is "Daddy's little monster." Daddy's little monster. Right? She has a tattoo that you can see, and also other places you see her image. They have, you know, "Daddy's little monster." Now, every one of the people in the Suicide Squad who are the members of the Suicide Squad, you know, it's like a corruption of, if I can say that, of the Dirty Dozen. You know what I'm saying? Some of you, I know you're old enough to remember those things. The Dirty Dozen, right? It's like, or even the Magnificent Seven, what have you. It's like each one of them had their thing, right? The Dirty Dozen, each one of them had their thing. The Magnificent Seven, each one of them had their thing, right? Suicide Squad, each one of them has their thing. But the primary, the largest, most outstanding thing i.e. malady, pathology, etc., with each one of them is they have problems with their parents. Either you had a problem with your father, or you had a problem with your mother, you had a problem with the parents. So the parents are the source of this madness, right? And then you talk about suicide. You know how it happens. Suicide. What is suicide? Suicide is killing yourself. That's what suicide is, killing yourself, right? Is that not what Shaitan is trying to get you to do? Kill yourself, right? Hannibal the Cannibal. Anybody who knows about him, that Hannibal Lecter character, it's really, really something too. That, so let's get away from this. So those people are given to ideology, ideology, right? They are opposed to religion. They're opposed to religion. And the distinction between religion and an ideology is that ideology takes a single focus. This is the idea. Ideology takes a single focus. Extreme, where our religion is balanced in its representation, and it always includes a role for the benevolence of nature. You'll find that many ideologies are actually attempts to substitute and replace religion. What does communism say? Religion is the opiate of the people. Religion is the opiate of the people. People say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Religion is the enemy, right? Religion is the enemy to the Dajjal and those who are carrying out its will. And in their attempts to substitute or replace religion, they always fail. That is, those ideologies, they always fail because they don't hold nature in sacred esteem. Meaning that you can look at a lot of things. That you can, capitalism. Let's take capitalism as an ideology, right? It's like, so it's the ideology. So it's just that, whatever it might be. You can call it free enterprise, or you can call it private property, you can call it the profit motive. You talk about all those things, right? And if you take the time to study those things, just really almost superficially, when you look at, you know, where is its origins, what is it, you'll see that it disrespects or lies about or disregards God and nature. I mean, all of them, communism, capitalism, even though we have In God We Trust on our money, look at how capitalism operates. Look at what undergirds, look at the ideologies that undergird, you know, the different schools of economics, et cetera, how many of them take nature and the, how can you say, they talk about the laws of nature and nature's God they talk about. Not these ideologies that I'm talking about. I'm talking about this is language that you hear in our environment. It is not respected. Human nature is not respected in capitalism, and the invisible hand, that whole Adam Smith lie, right? John Locke, and these are big names as it relates to economy, as it relates to wealth in this world. And when you dig beneath it, I'll send you somewhere you can get some details on this, Zeitgeist. Whatever the latest Zeitgeist, Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T, Zeitgeist. You can get it free on YouTube. Go through that and then just go, whatever. Go about one-third of the way through it and talk about money and the economy, and you can get details on what I'm, stumbling over right now. All of this is to say the threat to our lives our peace, etc., in this society is ideology in the worst sense. Ideology functionally is critical in terms of the logic of the idea, but it depends on which ideas, logic, are you following, right? So it's going to happen naturally. There's ideas, there's ideology, etc. Good ideas and there's bad ideas. But if somebody takes a bad idea and they build an ideology around it, and then they institutionalize that ideology, which is born of a bad idea, that's trouble for the society that we're in. There's this woman, Abramovich. Whatever. Beware, but you know, look and you'll see what I'm saying. You may find something. A modern artist, Abramovich. That's what I'm talking. Ayn Rand, AYNRAND. That's another one. You know, these are people who formulate ideologies that the quote unquote legislators and others in positions of power follow, and they institutionalize, they implement, and they sell and they promote this. This little star character right here, all these little eyes came from under the armpits of this creature right here. Just they shoot out like little whatever bullets, whatever you want to call it. Well, where's the armpit? The armpit is just funky. It's the place where some horrible slang about some of these countries that have been exploited by the powers that we're speaking of. It's the armpit of the Middle East, or it's the armpit of Africa, et cetera, to just say that it's just corruption. It's corruption. So it's from the corruption in the ideology that dominates people's worldview, and that creates the kind of hells in various places in the world. This is what is happening in those places. There is an Zionism ideology, atheism ideology, right? And it does not respect the role of, it doesn't respect human nature. It doesn't respect have human destiny, human purpose, human potential. It doesn't respect or include or incorporate that there is a God. I'm talking about ideology. You know that Shaitan, he said, "I fear God." This is in the Quran, right? So it's the people who get its ideology and promote that ideology who are actually the agents of the Shaitan, who he's trying to use or using as proof that human nature can't be trusted, human nature is weak, human nature is putrid, human nature is something to be disregarded. That's what you have in these ideologies. These ideologies, these rainbow ideologies right now, that is ruling something of the airwaves. The idea is that, you know, what's natural? What's normal? You know, what's the plan? What's all this other, these social constructs and blah, blah, blah. All of this undermining, the intention is to undermine nature and to undermine faith in God, in his reality, right? So that's all of this is, all of this is at work. So we'll wind down here. Ideology is an attempt to substitute or replace religion. They always fail because they don't hold nature in sacred esteem. So in every, I say apply the four birds in my slide there, in every one of those, so in business, you can have ideologies that subordinate or disrespect, disregard, or deem to be irrelevant the idea of God and human nature. Pardon me, same thing in governance, same thing. They either lie on the human nature. So the idea, like governance, for example, when people decide where are we going to spend our funds, okay? Decisions being made on lies about God, lies about human nature, which deprive human beings of what they have a right to as human beings, but they lay it on some rule of nature that since there's nothing that we can do to change this about human beings, it's a waste of time and money to invest in trying to ameliorate this condition because it's just natural, because it's a part of the human condition. There are certain people that you can't help, you can't change, you can't transform. They're just that way. And so it's against our understanding of nature. While they don't say it that way, but they act that way. Some may say it that way. It's natural. That's their lie against nature. And upon the lie against nature, that ideology, then they act on that lie, which deprives the human beings who need the benefit of a, quote unquote, a better choice, a more appropriate response to their condition. Then they die and they lose. They lose their life, they lose their livelihood, they lose their human existence. What? That's the act of Shaitan coming through the ideology that lies on God and human nature, as racism does. Right? All right. So, well, that's how far we got today. So, inshallah, we'll get to this. All this happened in relationship to a conversation that took place, which is the core conversation to the movie Simone. And this is like almost like the last act. I have one more thing that I'm going to show, inshallah, from this. But as you see, I'll say this as a starting point for next. So the idea that he was carrying these films, I haven't bothered with the numbers there, carrying the film, the big thing that stood out for me is the sunrise, sunset, the name of that movie. And they spent time and focus on that. So that's a part of the symbolism of the indexes that they were laying down, let's call it breadcrumbs, that they were signaling to those who may know that, okay, this is important too. The sunrise, the one-eyed thing, and the sunrise, sunset. And inshallah, next week, we'll get to that. And of course, as I'm giving you the note right there, false worship is sun worship. And we're going to talk about that, inshallah, then. I pray Allah that we've been of some benefit to you today. And we're about to check out. I'll give a couple of these notations from my friends, brothers, and sisters online. Let's see what we got here. Alhamdulillah. Oh, those of you on Blog Talk, you know, of course, is going to go on about 69 seconds. If you have a comment, you can push one on your phone. I'm looking at the studio now, so if you have a comment, you can do that. Push it up, and I'll open up the line for you. Alhamdulillah, I thank all of you regulars who are taking contribution. Okay, Lydia Wu says, makes sense, interesting, when each word has its own hidden meaning. Maybe they've been doing things in obvious ways and yet clueless people just enjoying it without knowing anything. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the case. That's the reality of it. Alhamdulillah, Taysir, alhamdulillah, said, looks, but this ideology is producing now. Look at the stink and the trash in the streets. No regard for humanity. Absolutely. It's horrible. And you know, most of our lives, it's like, man, you know, when you get to our neighborhoods, when you start seeing the blight, unfortunately, this is that part of the neighborhood, mashallah. May Allah guide us and protect us. Alhamdulillah, the all-seeing eye. D-I-A, incredible. Okay, you missed me on the D-I-A, Ali Jihad. D-I-A, inshallah. Let us know. Throw something up before we close out if there's a detail that I'm missing. All right. Alhamdulillah, we appreciate it all, one and all. May Allah guide us to the best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.